Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a reading from the Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 9. The Proverbs of Solomon: a wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother. Tainted wealth has no lasting value, but right living can save your life. And down to verse 9. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In the classic military sense, I've been volunteered. Just a little bit of background. I grew up in a small village about 20 miles east of Sarnia, the same territory that Gail and Clem McClemens are from. My father was a chemical engineer. He had gone to UNT during the Depression years. In the Air Force during the war, he was in aeronautical engineering. I spent as much time with my dad as I could. He tossed the football around. We went fishing. On Sundays, we would go for walks or drives along streams, turning over rocks, trying to see what there was underneath. We're up to Sarnia to watch the Lakers, those long, thin pencil boats, go underneath the Blue Water Bridge. We had a fireplace, a giant fireplace, that was used on Saturday nights when people were in to play bridge, or on Sundays. So we had a wood pile that would have filled half of this. So I spent a fair amount of time on the other end of the crosscut from my father. Had a lot of jobs growing up as a kid. We had over an acre in the village. It was cutting grass that took 8 hours. And in May, when it grew like crazy, we never stopped cutting. My dad was away from early Monday morning until late Friday night in front. So the responsibility came to me, and as my brother got older, him as well. We raked leaves. We had 12 big maples across the front. What I learned from that is never burn leaves on a Monday. People have their washing out. We had a big garden. We planted corn at 2 week intervals, so we had corn from early in July to late in September. This is eating corn. We had hedges that had to be cut. We had at least 16 fruit trees that had to be picked, from cherries to yellow plums to apricots. There's nothing that smells as nice in the month of May as apricot blossoms. They're the first ones to come out. We cut wood with my dad with a cross cut. What did I learn from all of this? With my father being away, I learned responsibility and duty. I had to cut the grass. I had to pick the fruit, the rest of it. Sex, I learned about sex from my father. My mother sent me up to see him, and my dad said, and I quote, "Sex is essentially the reproduction of the species." With that piece of information, I was heck on wheels. It was the only thing I missed. Earned the satisfaction of physical work. Forbearance. I had a house here on Dallas Lake sort of thing. And my dad phoned in May as I was working on a chapter for the Auditor General that was giving me a lot of grief. He said, "How are you?" And I said, "Terrible." I said, "I'm having trouble with my chapter. Every time it rains, the basement floods, and I've got dandelions everywhere. And he said, learn to love them. Sports. Growing up in a little village of about 800, if you didn't play sports, you weren't anyone. When I think back over my life, my tombstone's going to read, he played many sports, but none of them well. Integrity. My dad taught me to steal things. I would go with him. He was responsible for oil wells and pipelines in Ontario, but he had his own area. So I would head north, Godrich, Owen Sound, all through that area, Huron and Gray County, and we were driving down the county line and stopped to look to see how many fish were in the little river that went underneath. And there were some pretty good sized ones. And on the way back, I saw an apple tree, and I said, oh, apples. So I started to climb over the fence. My dad said, no, use the gate. So we walked about another 100 feet further to use the gate. The gate was dilapidated, so I waited for my dad to kind of fix it and put it in better shape. We then walked all the way back to the apple tree, and I started to pick apples off the tree. He said, don't take the ones on the ground. That was my father stealing apples. I learned from him the benefits of reason over passion. My mother was the warm one. My dad was, if you wanted good advice, that's where it came from. But if you wanted anything soft and swishy, he was the wrong one. Jane and I have two children, a daughter who swims, skis, paddles. As a mother, is the breadwinner. As a lawyer, she has certainly integrity, has a lot of responsibility. My son loves sports, soccer, skiing, fishing. If Jane were here, she would tell you how proud she was of her two children, the lawyer and the accountant. As for me, I'm a little disappointed. I wanted a plumber and a proctologist, something that was useful. My daughter doesn't know anything about fly fishing. My son seems to enjoy financial auditing and video games and avoids the outdoors at all particular costs. So how did I do? I only can come to the conclusion badly. I was all set to be here in your time today, and my daughter and grandson rang. And then as I was heading the door, my son rang, saying that he, Father's Day, and that he left a card, and it was a little one of these sentimental, squishy sort of cards. So what I've got for a son and an accountant is a wuss, is the only conclusion I got. I'm sorry that Andrew Luth isn't here. David Folks and I will be paying attention to Andrew, see how well he takes on his role with his two young children. I think in classic auditing, which I guess I was a management auditor, we will be setting standards, performance levels, best practices, so that we can give him feedback during the year. Thank you, and good morning. First song.
Thank you, David.
Yes. I appreciate
it.
You want me to do it else?
Sure.
You go for it. Mark Warren and I both picked one of the same songs. In fact, we almost picked two of the same songs. One of them is Dare to be a Daniel. And the other one is Be Thou My Vision. It's always one I've liked. Melody is important to me, and words. And it's a very special song to Mark as well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Joyeuse Fête des Pères. Happy Father's Day. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung from their neck to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My turn. So when Meg asked me to do a reflection this morning, she gave us three questions that might help us get started in our thinking. And one of them was, how did my dad impact my faith? So most of you probably know I grew up without a dad. My dad died at 35 in a car accident. So my mom, nurse, hardworking woman, raised us, five kids, four boys and a girl, on her own, taking on the role of mom and dad. Not an easy task in the mid-60s, I will tell you. Mother's allowance, widow's allowance, times were different back then. Mom, though, was not one to quit, and her Christian faith carried her throughout this terrible period and all the years that followed. I don't think she ever missed a church service. I grew up Catholic, and I remember a conversation we had one day when she reflected on the fact that I was the only one still going to church out of my brothers and sisters. And even though it was a different denomination, it didn't matter to her. And so I thought there for a second, and I said, "You know, Mom," I said, "I've always believed that we are more than a bag of meat and water, and that there's more to life, that there's more out there." And in the end, I told her, isn't that what faith is in it? Right? Belief in something more, something greater, something bigger. So growing up without a dad, I found myself watching other fathers as I grew up, interacting with their children. I had to learn. I watched my uncles and how they behaved, my dad's brothers. There was a reflection of my dad in them, obviously, because they were the brothers. A music teacher at school was also a great influence. A kind, funny, thoughtful man who kind of took me under his wing for a time. And I was in the choir at school, starting elementary school all the way to my last year in high school. And he was always the music teacher, the music director. And we had a ball. I just thought, and he's still alive today. I call him once in a while and just to check in on him. But sometimes, during those years, I would wonder what kind of dad I would be. When it finally happened, like most dads, I don't think I was quite ready. Those lessons sure came in handy, but I think, actually I know, that I was going at it mostly by feel. My continued growth, though, in faith was totally due to my late wife, Kelly. Joining St. Stephen's as a young dad at the age of 28, I quickly found that I was well surrounded by many, many fine examples of fatherhood, young and old, the Norms, the Davids, John. Didn't think this was going to happen. Sorry. I will tell you, though, that to this very day, I continue to learn. As I quietly watch my peers from a distance raising their kids, Charles, Owen. And when I say peers, I include you moms, especially those who raise their kids on their own, as my mom did. I did not see this coming. To you all, I'm grateful for the lessons you taught me without even knowing it. My girls grew up here. Erin and Genevieve, they went to Sunday school, later joined Kelly and I in the choir. They both continue to practice their faith and continue to sing their hearts out. They continue to be and are good people. In the reading I chose, the passage about being childlike stuck with me. Those who know you know me well enough might actually think that I am just that many times, childlike. I will admit, I like to tease and kid around. Certainly Peggy and the choir continue to put up with me and my shenanigans at times. But being childlike is how I feel and I believe we should go through life. Having children certainly kept that going for me. Throughout my life, I found that humor has always been a useful tool in many situations, raising my kids, but especially when it comes to raising the kids to become good human beings that will continue to impact the world long after we're gone. I remember a time when Erin Pauline was 16 years old, and Erin was a, shall I say, great debater at 16. And I remember we were having a debate about she wanted to do something, and she wanted to do it, and she was arguing that we had let her sister do it, and that was the end of it. She was going to do it, and we were going to let her. And this went on for about an hour, and at some point, divine intervention, sorry, a thought came to me and I said, you know, we raised your sister, she was our firstborn, and we made many mistakes, and she is what she is today, but because we learned from all those mistakes, you reap the benefits, and we're not making those mistakes again. So that's why the answer is no, and I'll never forget. We're in Erin's room, and she's looking at me, and she says, steely eyes a 16-year-old can give you when they're mad. And then she kind of smiled a bit, and she says, it's pretty good, Dad. I don't have an answer for that. So humor. Humor will get you through what I believe most everything. Anyways, raising good kids to be good human beings, isn't that the job of being a mom and a dad in the end? Isn't that what we hope and wish for? Living my faith here at St. Stephen's Community helped me to do that, and I think and I hope I did all right. As David said, we picked the hymns this morning because they mean something to us. They meant something to Jane, and they meant something to Kelly. Be Thou My Vision was one of her favorites. But the song that we're about to sing is Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Why I picked it, I'm not actually sure. But this is a song I learned when I joined St. Stephen's. We went to camp and I heard it over there, and for some reasons, every time I think of church and I think of music, this is one of the songs I think of. It's from the Praiseways. I know it's in the hymn book, but the version I always sang was from Praiseways. And it brings me joy, it makes me smile, and it's one that I used to sing at times with my girls growing up when we sang it at home. So there's a little twist on the last verse, so don't worry, I'll guide you when the time comes. So I think the words will be up on the screen.
I'm reading today from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
So I want to say thank you again to David and to Mark for sharing. They talked a lot about their fathers, and I was going to talk about mine. They've said a lot of the same things that I wanted to say, so I'm not going to say it all. But I'm going to say that my favorite summer that I can remember growing up, and I may get the year wrong, but I think it was somewhere around 1991. You were an adult in the early 90s, you may remember. That was the time of the recession. And my dad lost his job that summer. And I know, looking back and having talked with them as an adult, that that was a really, really hard summer for them. My mom took on extra shifts, but she was working part-time. And so they really struggled through that summer. But as a kid, that was my best summer, because I got to spend the whole summer with my dad. And so often, right, because he was working, he would be there to put us to bed. In the summertime, he would coach me in baseball or my sister. We kind of had to fight over it because he couldn't manage both. So he would alternate each summer between who he would coach. But that summer, we spent every day with him. And we would go out and we would play, we would throw the ball around, we weren't doing anything that cost money, but my goodness, did we have fun. I am very grateful that I have two wonderful, faithful, loving parents. I am a lot more like my dad than I am like my mom, although I get traits from both of them. But I am very grateful for the way that he shared his faith with me. He was pretty quiet about his faith. My dad is not one to go out on the street corner and ask people if they've met Jesus. Good Presbyterian that way. But he lived his faith. He lived his faith, like when David said, with integrity. He would not steal apples from the orchard with the gate. But, he always tried to live the way he believed was right. He always wanted to do the right thing, even when it cost him his job. Even when he was told that it would be easier just to do the thing everyone wanted him to do. If it is the right thing to do, that was the way that he would choose. And I think when we hear these stories about our parents, mothers and fathers who live out their faith, I think that's what Moses was getting at in our passage in Deuteronomy. Some people literally do what they say, tie these symbols on your hands, actually arms, bind them to your forehead. You will see people when they pray, especially if you go to the Weeping Wall in Jerusalem, you will see people with boxes tied to their forehead or tied to their arms as they pray. And they're trying to live out in a literal sense this verse. But I think the other thing is, we live it out every time we choose the hard thing that is the right thing over the easy thing that is wrong. We live it out every time we choose to try to understand what somebody is feeling instead of instantly judging them for how they are acting. We are living out our faith in our forehead when we use our minds to try to understand what God is asking us to do. We live it out on our arms and hands when we do the work of Jesus. I was trying to think about times when Jesus and the religious leaders agree, and there aren't very many of them. He had a lot of critical things to say about them. But the one place I could think of is when Jesus references Deuteronomy. When they ask him, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength, soul and with all your strength." And they said, "Yes, yes, I agree with you." It's this one place where we find agreement. And of course, Jesus adds to it, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, which we hear really in this Deuteronomy passage. He's quoting Leviticus, but we hear it in the, write these words on your doorposts and bind them to your arm and to your forehead. He's saying, you want to show me you love God? This is how you do it. You love your neighbor. And my father lived that all the time and continues to live it all the time in the way that he loves people who are pretty grumpy and unlovable at times, in the way that he quietly does what he believes is right and lets the consequences fall as they will, in his patience and his understanding when people he cares about are difficult and people he doesn't know very well are difficult. And I am grateful because that has allowed me to try to learn those things. I tend to be a little more loudly opinionated than he does, and he has helped me learn that sometimes it's more important to be kind than to be right. Although don't get me wrong, he loves it when he's right. He gave me a mug one year that says, "I don't need Google, my father knows everything." So we have that humor piece as well, just as you do, Mark. And for all of those things, I am grateful. And for all of the fathers and father figures, I am grateful for the way that I have gotten to learn my faith. And as Mark says, I get to continue to learn it as I live my faith with you and see how you live it out in your lives.